This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken has the day off, hopefully sleeping in and resting.
Yes.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am well, but I'm wondering...
I love the weather.
I love the weather.
Nice, cool night. I, too, also love the weather as well.
I, too? Which, too?
It's beautiful.
Why are you sitting there with your arms crossed like that? You look a little...
An attitude. I have an attitude.
Yeah, why?
How's that?
Well, that's better, but what is...
He's had to listen to you for the last half hour.
Oh, hey now.
I didn't mean that.
Hey now. Are you walking home today? Are you walking home today?
It's supposed to be your inside voice,
Mark. Yeah, oh, sorry.
Sheesh. Good morning, gentlemen.
The weather's been...
We've had a nice turn in the weather, have we not?
We have indeed.
Is that it?
A little rain, and then we had nice...
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in our... Tropical depression. I was the only thing that got depressed from that depression.
Was there not enough water for you?
Not enough water at my house. I hear you. Sunday midday, I drove out to Tecate because I saw the radar. And it was raining out there. And that fire that was out, the Border 32 fire or whatever, when they closed down the port of entry a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I see why. Because it burned... On both sides of the 94 at the turnoff to go to the Tecate. There was no way to get anywhere. Okay. Yeah.
So for clarity here, you drove out there just
chasing,
to see rain?
Chasing the rain, yeah.
I don't want to say that because only someone of lesser intelligence would do such a thing, especially in a burn area where there could be runoff and problems.
Flood,
so
perhaps.
I would not ever do such
a
thing. But I may have found myself out there and
where
there
it happened to be raining.
Minor debris flows across the road, small rocks and things, and there had been paths made through them by cars ahead of me, so I didn't have to actually hit any of the rocks. They were
you
all
think
small.
Those people also went just to see rain or
no, they had a purpose.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. I would normally be sitting over there calling me out for this, but it's you today. Is that why you had attitude and you didn't even know I was going to talk about that?
I had no idea you were going to say that.
It was nice out there, and there didn't seem to be too many debris flows. But that took me down Barrett Lake Road, which reminded me, 20-plus years ago, Ellsworth Shumway bought a couple hundred fruit trees from us to plant on property he bought out there. And what was really striking about that, he put in a well and
aside
did all that.
Aside from his name.
Ellsworth Shumway?
Yeah, that's an interesting name.
It was George's brother. Shumway. George Shumway. Anyway, they were a staple in the Point Loma area.
Exactly.
But I couldn't find the property. But what struck me about that, all the way out there, was across from his property, was a property that had bananas growing on it. And I thought it was way too far east and that they would freeze. But they seemed
would
to
they
do
come back
quite and, well. But I couldn't find any of them. And it was very... Anyway. Stop looking at me like
stories,
that.
Yeah.
Stop looking at me with that tone of voice.
Stop it. But the weather... that's right. That's what we were talking about.
We were talking about
it was disappointing.
Weather.
I was expecting a significant amount of rain. And as usual, those tropical remnants disappoint.
Well,
in Southern California.
I think it helped a bit. It was cooler, and we talk about this a bit. There was moisture on the leaves. There was some moisture on the ground, not a lot, but enough to help keep the sprinklers off for an extra couple days. So.
Absolutely correct. And the overcast, even though it was still warm, took the edge off of the sun, so backing off on water was great. And now, it's so cool this morning. I had to use a blanket last night with the door open and all the air coming through.
Good
but it's nice, and it's supposed to stay cool like this through most of the week, and then warm up to just mildly warm. Mm-hmm. So a good week to save some water after I left water on the couple weeks before.
Again? And
yeah, I got my water bill this week.
Yeah.
It was disgusting.
Have you heard of mulch?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm glad you asked me that. Yes, I have.
Now, you just did a yard doctor up near our house the other day.
We're not going there yet.
You should have. I know, but you should have swung by and looked at how the mulch
seen how it should be
how
done.
It should be done.
Yes.
You were four houses away. You should have stopped by.
Wow. Yes, I should have, but I wasn't invited, and so
I was at work. So
You could have invited me to drop by and take a look at your mulch.
I should have done that. I apologize.
I accept your apology, but I did take your advice, and I went and put extra mulch around, and I took the advice of our speaker last week and ground up some leaves that were just around. I ran them over with the lawnmower and took that mulch and put it around. I doubled the mulch on my avocado tree, and it seems to have made a difference. It may have something to do with the weather cooling down, but it seems to have made a difference, so... People can start backing off on the frequency of their waterings.
Right.
I would still maintain the duration so that things get soaked, but it is time to start slowing down. As, you know, we head towards the autumnal equinox.
Which is next week, Thursday. I think it's 6:03 p.m. Pacific time.
I gave you a homework assignment, George Allman.
You did. But I have to tell you, to be fair, I didn't do it at home, so...
I gave you an assignment, George Allman. I'll just rephrase it. So since the summer solstice, which was the 21st approximately of June?
Of June, correct.
The longest day of the year? We agree on that?
In the Northern Hemisphere.
Supposedly. In the Northern Hemisphere. Thank you. Yeah. Good point. How many minutes of daylight have we lost since then to now?
Well, I'll do it this way. We lost 1 hour and 59 minutes. So just shy of 2 hours.
That's almost 2 hours.
Wow.
That's a big difference.
It is. It's shorter days.
It's very sad. And now we're headed, how many more? I didn't give you that homework assignment. I won't.
Well, it's going to keep, you know, dropping off until we get to December.
Allowing things to stay cooler.
Cooler.
All right.
Days. Yep.
So that's your weather update, your daylight update. In case you didn't know, it's getting darker outside earlier.
Much earlier.
Do we have any classes coming up?
We do have classes coming up, in fact, as we typically do. So in San Diego at 9 a.m., we have Brigitte from San Diego Seed Company, and she's going to be, you know what, I assume she's going to do her standard, you know, seed starting classes for autumn. At this time of the year, it'll be for autumn crops.
But you don't know?
But I don't know. It's just San Diego Seed Company is what we're titled.
Oh, because you did not talk to Brigitte. And for those of you who do not know her, she's kind of a big deal.
And she's a great speaker, and she's got a lot of good YouTube videos on her website to help you with your gardening. And we're actually going to have her coming to the Poway store in the spring.
That's at 9 a.m. at Walter Anderson Nursery in San Diego.
That is correct. And at 9:30 in Poway, there'll be Winter Rose Care with
Mutt and Jeff.
Mutt and Jeff, Click and Clack, David and George.
Which one are... Who are you going to be and who should I be for one?
We'll surprise them.
Okay.
What do we do for winter care? Here's the giveaway, right? You don't do
anything.
No,
we're not. We can't tell.
The people that can't come in, we don't do anything, right? Is that the basic premise of the class?
That is the basic premise of the class. Okay. The things that we have fought all season long, the insects, the disease.
Fungus.
Yes, all of that. The tip is, don't worry about it now. In another month and a half, three months, 4 months, sometime around December, January, you're going to cut it all back, spray it, and so don't worry about it.
The key is don't worry about it. Okay, and then next week, September 24th, next week, we have Fox Farm products with Corey Hansen. We'll be talking about all their products.
Where is that?
The San Diego store, 9 a.m. And then in Poway at 9:30, Edible Landscapes with Chuck McClung.
Oh, wow. That'd be a good class.
Yeah. Chuck is very knowledgeable, has a master's in botany, so he's one of the brains that teach things for us.
He is a wonderful source of information, and he presents it well.
Yeah. He does indeed, absolutely.
I'm a good presenter, but I have no wealth of knowledge to share, but I can present it.
In a somewhat usable format.
Somewhat. Is that it?
That's it. Those are our classes coming up.
Thanks, George. I need another 2 minutes out of you.
Do you want me to tell you what's coming? Well, I can't because it's not posted yet for October.
Oh, all right. If you would like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. Have you begun? Did you change any irrigation this week? I'm going to have to go back to that since you didn't dry out the class schedule long enough.
And perhaps I don't have it too early, the class schedule. I didn't, but I did turn the water back on, and yesterday they cycled on for the first time since the rain. So I haven't changed any of the timings yet, but they had been off for about a week.
Marky?
Yeah.
Nothing?
No, I don't have... I have a little system, but I, for the most part, will hand water or not.
Yeah, I have a system, and my system consists of me hand watering most of the time, right, or turning on sprinklers and turning them off. That is my system.
The only thing that we have to hand water are the house plants, which are our porch plants. We have right. porch plants that are in pots, and then we have a number of Capri calls my Ramona section, because I have a lot of pots with starts in it, you know, it plants that are either I've been nursing or I started from seed or grafted, and they're in those things are need hand watering because they're in pots.
You got to heal the hurts.
We're working on it.
I'm not much of a waterer. I have some things that are suffering a little bit, but
I have a
cooler
bunch of
weather is helping.
It
that's
is
for sure.
I have some grafted fruit trees that are growing well, and I have some Kai apples. Are you familiar with the Kai apple?
I'm debating whether to go back to the Ramona comment, but I'll move forward.
It's an internal joke. It's quite it's fun.
As someone who lives in Spring Valley,
we could also say the Spring Valley
anyway,
section. Is that what
no,
you're thinking?
No, I'm not going to say that. I am not going to say that. I am not even going to think about that. But I've been watering diligently every day, but I have not had to this last week. It's been very nice to have it. I have a bunch of container plants and orchids hanging in and under a tree in the backyard, and they're starting to bloom. The cattleyas are blooming right now.
Oh, that's
I don't know if they're supposed to, yeah, but they look good. They're not as fragrant as I would have liked.
That Hoya's flower. Well.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's one of those super duper popular plants now.
Yeah, because all of a sudden I walk.
Are you growing it inside or outside?
Mark? Outside.
Okay.
It gets most of the day sun, and they're doing wonderfully well.
Nice.
Flowering too, two of them.
I just want to say to you two, I appreciate you because you have gotten us through those last 2 minutes that I needed to get through. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
Welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken has the day off. Did you want to...
Well, when we were talking about the Ramona thing, I wanted to be clear. That was our yard in some spots looks like a farm. It looks like a rural area with pots and things growing everywhere. It wasn't, you know, a slide on Ramona people.
I appreciate you clarifying that because I was dragging you down into the gutter where I hang out, and I apologize to you and yours for associating you with that same situation that I would do.
And you would.
Definitely I would. Should we go to the phones before we go to the
Absolutely.
Hoyas and houseplants? Let's. I need to click on this correctly. Dallas and Escondido, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
So far, so good.
Thanks for having me on. I was in Point Loma 2 days ago and visiting a friend, and he is outside in his house, some plants lining the drive. There's this white, sticky, cottony stuff on the underside of leaves. What is that?
Was it on a hibiscus?
I think it might have been. It's just a massive amount of white, stringy, cotton-looking string.
Yeah, it sounds like white fly.
And the one that is the most prevalent and that shows up, the is most visible, is giant whitefly, which is followed by that stringy, waxy coating.
Stuff, yes, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really sticky when you touch it.
Right. That's what it is.
And what? How do you get rid of it, or do you?
What you do depends on your approach. If you're not an organic guy, there are a number of products that you can put in the soil that are systemic that will go in and fight from the inside, and then otherwise you can spray with any of the pesticides that are listed for flowers.
Have you ever tried the worm castings?
I have used worm castings, and it has worked successfully.
You would not recommend it for that because it's not on the label, but you have used it and it has worked.
Correct.
Yes. Worm castings are basically worm manure, and it has something to do with the chitins in the makeup of the insect, but if you put that down as a mulch around your plant, it helps reduce the populations, in my case, to zero on hibiscus.
And if you don't care what you spray on your plants, what would you use?
I'll let David, if I don't care. David does the I don't care what I spray.
Because I don't care. I would use the either Bonide 8 or the Bayer Rose and Flower spray.
That's what I would use.
It has a systemic anticontact in it. That's what I would use. Or the systemic soil drench. But the worm castings do a very good job.
It's good for the soil.
They really help the soil. So I would encourage you in this instance not to listen to me and to listen to George.
Okay, so worm castings, where do I buy this magical substance?
Coming out the back end of worms. we sell it in bags at both locations. And they are called worm castings. And they're... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you do want to treat it. So if you want to go with an organic approach, you can spray insecticidal soap or horticultural oil or neem oil to help eradicate them off the leaves while you allow the worm castings to work their magic in the soil.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks
very much for the call, Dallas.
Yep. You have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I have no experience with playing squash. Have either of you ever played squash before?
No.
All right. Well,
I've been to a squash place that had a bar in there, but I've never played.
All right. Well, we're going to go to El Cajon. Phil has some questions about squash. Good morning, Phil.
Oh. Good morning. I'm in San Diego between National City and Spring Valley.
You know, that's what it says on here, but I don't know why I said El Cajon. That's where Pamela is. She must have been confused. Yeah. But go ahead. What's your squash question?
Well, it is 6:20. We're confused. I have raised beds, and there's at least five of them that I'm planting a variety of vegetables. Squash has been for 6 months. The squash grows about 3 feet long, and then the plant dies. Every now and then, one or two squash come out of it. For the past 10 years, I've been doing this same process and had wonderful, overwhelming numbers of zucchini and yellow squash, etc. Is there something new that is killing my squash? I haven't really changed. I'm pretty procedural, and I haven't changed the amount of water, fertilizer. I do general routine taking care of vegetable garden process, and the squash just seem not to go anywhere.
Hmm. And you said raised beds?
Is there a squash bug?
There is a squash bug, and a squash bug will, in fact, damage and destroy a plant, but I think you would see them on there. What's the decline? What's going on with the plant?
Well, it grows to 2 or 3 feet long, maybe, and then the leaves go from nice green to a yellow and dry out brown.
Squash
then
bugs
the vine goes yellow, and then it dries up and shrivels.
Well, the squash bug could be the problem, but I would submit to you that this year has been a little bit warmer and drier than most, and so if by chance you did the same protocol, it may not have been enough. I am assuming when you say you're pretty regimented on how you prepare that the soils have been rebuilt and...
Right.
Okay. Then I would think either your bug and or maybe just a simple, my go-to, water problem.
Water, yeah.
Well, and I check the water around the root area is damp. I am watering every day, but it's measured out about 4 or 5 ounces of water at 4 and at 6 in the morning. And then I give them a drink at 4 in the afternoon because it's been a warm day. But it's all on drip and it goes just right to where the roots are. You know, sometimes when the plant dies, I pull it and the root system looks just fine. And some, it looks like it's kind of been not eaten, but just it dissolved like all the rest of the vines. I'm just puzzled, and I've tried all varieties of squash. I've gone to 3 different nursery providers of 6-packs and planted 6, and one never gets past a foot. The other 5 go to about 3 feet, but they all die.
Well, if you've had success in the past, then you know what you have been, you know, you clearly know what you were doing. I would look at 2 things, and that would be the water. It has been warmer, and so water just at the roots, you may want to expand that a little bit and increase that 360 degrees out a little further from the plant, number one. That would be in the absence of squash bugs, but from what you described, the damage that you described is actually listed in the University of California Integrated Pest Management as one of the symptoms for squash bugs. So you may want to just type in squash bug UCIPM and look that up and see if that's what you're seeing.
And what's the quick cure for squash bug?
Actually, neem oil or insecticidal soap will kill them in the nymph stages. Harder to get the bigger ones. You might want to use something like 8.
And I don't see bugs anywhere. I've cut the vines and looked inside. There doesn't seem to be any. I don't know. I can't identify a squash bug.
Right. So in the absence of any insect, you know, we're left with disease or water.
And the 5 ounces is kind of seems light to me for a squash plant with those big leaves, especially as their vines are getting further further out. Yeah. So I would think about increasing the amount so that circle that's watered is probably about 2 feet wide and down 6 to 12 inches, and give that a try as well. Thank you very much for the call, Phil. Hope it works.
Thank you.
Take care. I guess we do have time. Now we will go to El Cajon and speak to Pamela. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning. I have a problem with watering also. I've talked to several times about the difficulties. I no longer seem to be able to grow roses like I used to. They just don't thrive no matter what. Well, this last week, I hadn't watered my roses while it was raining, and our gardener used a probe and went down, and it was dry. You know, the rose bed was dry. And so she watered we have an irrigation system on those roses, and she watered for 3/4 of an hour, and then used the probe again, and it was down 3 inches. It was wet 3 inches deep, and I was wondering. I've never done this before. And I was wondering, how deep should we water? How deep the water should be go for the roses to really thrive?
How old are the roses? How long have they been there?
Well, they were all replaced several years ago.
Yeah.
Right. I would suggest that they be watered to at least a foot,
yeah,
to 12 inches down. And I think you by explaining the way your gardener watered it, that slow trickle for 3/4 of an hour is a great way to get the water where deep, you want it to be deeper, in the root zone and deep. And so it just seems that you might want to do it for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
Or increase the flow a little bit. But that's a great example of the slow trickle to get the water around the root ball and deep.
Correct.
Okay, now, so that thing, that's one thing. I also heard somebody told my daughter that well water was not good water for growing plants. Is that true?
The short answer is it depends. It depends on your well water and what your mineral salt content and salts, et cetera, are in your water.
But it should be fine, theoretically.
Have you ever had that tested to see what the mineral content is? And
no, that's the next thing. That's the other thing. You know, we had our well went dry, and it was down, I think it was down the 250 or 300 feet deep. So we had to dig again, and this time we had to go down 800 feet.
Wow.
And we have two pumps. It's costing us like crazy because we have a tower that, we have a pump that brings the water up to the surface, and then a tower that fills up. Another pump to spread the water around. Okay, so I have spent since the new well that we are having so much trouble.
Well, we I would consider getting that well tested. You could before you or not the well, the well water tested before you do that. I would change the water so that you're getting the deep soaking that you need. Save yourself the testing if you want, and just see if that doesn't encourage the roses to start doing better. We are going to have to take a break, so thank you very much for the call, Pamela, and I hope that helps you out. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. If you would like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We've got to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Sweet Garden Talk and Roses here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. Before we get to our subject of houseplants and things, I think we ought to go to Tierra Santa and answer an avocado question. Good morning, Linda. How
are
you?
Good morning. I'm fine. We have a avocado tree that's about 5 years old, and my husband was watering it one time a week for 30 minutes. That was before the heat spell, and then he started watering it for 15 minutes every 48 hours during the heat spell. And we have all these little avocados that are dropping off the tree. So what are we doing wrong?
I think probably a lack of water has caused stress on your plant, and the first thing it's going to do is drop all those avocados. I think you went the wrong direction with the watering. I know you increased the frequency, but the duration needs to be longer to prevent the stress, and that's probably what happened to it.
Oh, okay. So how long should we water it?
The short answer is it depends on how large it is. You want to water the basin underneath that tree.
How was the 30 minutes? How was the tree doing with the 30 minutes once a week? Was the fruit staying on the tree?
Yes, was before the heat spell.
Then I would have added a midweek watering of about the same duration. When he went to the 15 minutes, did we get rid of the 30-minute watering, or did we maintain the 30 minutes and just add?
No, he went to the 15 minutes every 48 hours.
So he was using more water and getting poor result, lesser results.
And how is it being watered? Is it on a drip system?
Here, I'm going to have you talk to him. Hold on.
Oh, now you did it, Georgie.
Yeah.
Well, I think we go back to it was the 30 minutes was working.
It was, and I was just curious if it was getting all the way out.
And if the heat was a problem, then we add water, don't take away the 30 minutes.
Correct.
And if anything, increase the duration so it's watering out a larger circle.
Correct.
Agreed. I think we're going to the same path.
Since she's gone looking for him, do I hang up?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Welcome back.
I was, and earlier when I was doing the 30 minutes, they were turning black and they would fall off. And since I was, and I had a real bumper crop, there are really a lot of them this year.
Add, don't subtract.
Okay.
And so, at the
30 minutes, but maybe the duration or the times of the 30-minute waterings.
I don't think the timing matters. Well, the time that you do it doesn't really matter. It just needs to happen. And over the course of time, the duration should increase. So if 30 minutes has been good for the last couple of years, it's probably time to go to 40, 45, maybe even a 60-minute watering cycle. And then when we're going to have the heat spell like we've had, throw an extra watering in there in the middle of the week to get them through. But don't shorten the time because it's not going to put enough – it's not going to wet the root zone enough.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, bye.
That's what, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Agreed.
Right.
Yeah. And but your point, which is valid, is the tree's 5 years old. So if it's been working well for 5 years in this manner and it's not working well now, we might want to just increase the ring, if you will, what's getting wet and the time.
Agreed. Right. Mm-hmm.
I think we're all on the same page here.
You know what I like on modern sprinkler systems is the ability to do intervals vice Tuesday and Sunday or days. By doing intervals, I just shorten it by one day sometimes and makes all the difference. Instead of going every 6 days or every 7th or 8th day, if we're going to get a heat wave, I move it to 5 and just let it, or 4, and let it work that way. And it's a great invention.
I think that's reasonable. Yeah. And people get into the, it's worked this way for years, so I don't need to change anything mentality. And that works with a lot of things, but not with irrigation usually.
And certainly, not with plants that have matured and or 10 times bigger than they were 5 years ago when you put them in the ground.
Right.
You know, all these phone calls are cutting into our chit-chat time.
That's fine.
Is that okay? Do you want to?
We can talk.
You want to talk to Fran from Vista about her Society Chives?
Society Chives or Society Garden?
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning,
we'll
guys.
We'll find out.
Long time no call in, but I am preparing some kind of hors d'oeuvres, and I use the Society Chives to decorate the plate, and somebody asked me if it's edible. I know the garlic chives are okay to eat, but the other ones I'm not sure. Do you know?
What are we calling Society?
Society Garlic.
So you're talking about Society Garlic?
No, the Society Chives, and then there is the garlic ones.
Yeah.
They're two separate things, and I know that the garlic ones you can eat, but the other ones, I'm not sure, the Society Garlic.
I think we might be confusing. There's regular chives and garlic chives.
Right.
And then there is the ornamental plant Society Garlic.
Is Society Garlic?
Yes, I think so.
They're pink. It's a very pretty pink.
Yeah,
very large. It has a very pungent odor if you break off the leaves.
It's kind of a thicker
and kind
leaf.
Of a violety purple flower that extends above the plant. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, that's it.
Correct. Yeah, those, if they're not edible, I wouldn't be here because I used to cook with them all the time.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So
that's
a testimony that they are okay to eat then.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
As long as.
Well, as long as you don't, as long as they're not treated with any kind of pesticide, or your dogs live nearby them.
Exactly.
Well, no, totally organic, nothing.
Okay, they'd be fine then.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll
Thank
be fine.
You guys. I'm continuing to listen.
Well, very good.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks for the call. If you'd like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. Go ahead.
I was just going to say we grow that a lot. We have a bunch of it in front of the nursery in Poway, but we recently brought in some that were growing in our pond in Poway, and I didn't know it was a water plant.
It's amazing with some the versatility of
some
of
them.
Yeah.
That's it?
Well, it's a nice – I had an old neighbor when I lived in Rancho Penasquitos who – hated that plant. Whenever I used my weed whacker around it, he would jokingly text me or call me or scream, all in good fun, scream over the fence. You know,
you think
stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when they trim them out front in the nursery, you can smell it for the rest of the day, if not longer. It is very pungent, and it's a super durable plant.
Right.
It is.
And it's funny that it can be grown in, strange that it can be grown in water, because it is one of the most drought-tolerant plants you'll come across, and still thrives and blooms. You know, he had a perfect segue when we went into the first break. Mark was talking about his Hoya blooming outside, and we were going to talk about houseplants. But, you know, that was so long ago, I don't even know if it's segueable anymore.
Maybe after the next break. But we do have something to talk about Society Garlic, though. Why is it called Society Garlic? Do you know?
No, I don't.
I do not know.
There's an old saying that there's a rumor that it tastes like garlic without giving you a lot of the garlic after breath.
Okay.
Interesting. It dissipates more quickly.
So quickly, right. And that's why it's called society garlic. It's more polite to eat that.
I would have said it just grows in groups, so therefore it's in a society.
And that's fair, but that's not where the rumor comes from.
Thank you. That's a good thoughtful answer.
Just throw it in there, you know.
Way to go. Did you know that, or did
you just look that up? No, I actually knew that one.
Why?
Interesting.
Because when people told me that it was edible 25, 30 years ago when I came to California, I looked it up to verify that it was edible, and that's where I learned about it.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Fran, thanks you, and the other 17 people listening, thank you as well. If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. You were listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 and KPRZ. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Pamela, thanks for calling us back. We were up against the break, and I sent you away prematurely. How can we help you?
Oh, well, I'm glad to go. Thank you for taking me again. I had a rose. I have a rose in a tub. And it was the one rose that was doing well. It was loaded with blooms. It was lots of, and a rabbit came along and ate all the leaves off. or a lot more than, excuse me.
They will certainly do that, and we sometimes have to fence them at the nursery.
Well, we fenced it, but not fast enough. And I was wondering, we thought we would get it back, but it doesn't look like it's doing very well. Once again, I was watering it like crazy because it was in a tub and, you know, the heat and everything. And the gardener seemed to think I was giving it too much water. I never get it right. But I was wondering what... Now we don't know that we're going to even save the rose. Is that... Do you have any...
It should come back from that.
Yeah, it'll come back.
I would be surprised if it does not. We have cut them back. We've had them eaten back. And I have chopped back roses in our rose pruning class to just the nub, just the bud union.
Isn't there one today?
And they come back. Yes. I don't think we have a plant to cut back that far. So I would expect it to come back out. I'd give it some food, yeah, keep up with the water, it. Mm-hmm. And it should come out pretty quickly. And did you have...
And food would be a good idea, right?
Yes, absolutely would. Did you have another question?
No, that was it. Was this rose? Last time we talked about it, she said, I don't think it's going to, you know, recover. It didn't. It wasn't doing anything at all.
How long ago did it get eaten?
About a month ago.
It should be starting to put out new growth. And if there are any dormant bud eyes down there, which I'd be shocked if there were not.
Correct.
Then they should be starting to sprout pretty quickly right now.
Okay. Okay. And feed it. I'll feed it.
Yes. Absolutely. Give it a shot of food. With the shorter, cooler days, it should come out very quickly right now. I've noticed a lot of plants at my house, a couple of climbing roses that may have not gotten quite enough water over the last couple of months, have started putting out lots of new growth right now.
Huh.
Good luck with it, Pamela. Thanks.
Thanks
for calling us back.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
It is, the plants know that the days are shorter.
Right.
Whether we do or not.
They do, and they know that it's a little bit cooler.
Cooler, absolutely they do.
And so now the same water is adequate.
Right.
Now that plant will probably come back, providing it didn't get, you know, completely dried out.
Get croaked in the interim?
Well, it's just pondering, you know, if the gardener thought it wasn't coming back and had stopped watering, going, okay, this one's done, then it may not come back.
Gotcha. During that call, I got a text from Chuck letting me know that he was listening, so we're up to 18.
Okay.
So pretty good. Do you still want to broach houseplants a little bit since we're getting – might as well.
Hoyas, talk about it.
Hoyas would segue us there, would it not?
How many Hoyas do you have, Mark?
Three. Three in hanging baskets, and two of them are flowering. One of them's not.
And you said they're in full sun or mostly sun?
Most.
In the backyard?
Yeah, in the backyard, yeah.
So how close do they get afternoon shade is where I was headed with my
question.
They
get a little bit of shade in the afternoon,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because most of our house plants are tropical plants.
Correct.
You know, and they live in these forests with, you know, big canopies, and that's why they do well in our houses with
correct
lower light situations.
I mean, Hoyas are fairly bulletproof. I mean, unless you overwater them or something. But, I mean, typically... Yeah, and it's growing like a weed.
I never really cared for Hoyas, but now they're one of the most popular craze plants. And Mary just texted us. We're up to 18.
Well, 19.
Your math skills.
Sorry.
19.
As she says, yes.
Do you have any other houseplants?
I have a couple of ficus trees, too. Yeah.
We have a lot of... both houseplants and regular garden shrubs that we grow as houseplants on our porch. I mean, they're grown up against the house.
I was going to say, you know where my houseplants do the best?
Outside.
Outside.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of beautiful plants outside our porch. And some of them, the begonias that we dug up at Widener's.
Widener's,
2 years ago when they had that. Capri and I went up, I think we dug up five, maybe four.
Was it 2 years ago? I would have said one.
I think it was 2 years ago. I may be wrong. It's been a while. Maybe it was one. But regardless of when, it's been over a year. And we lost a couple of them, but some of them are still thriving and blooming like crazy right now on our front porch. Just spectacular. And I would, now those are in the begonias, we are outdoor plants, but we grow them, as I said, more like our house plants.
Right.
Next to ficus and sansevieria, the snake plants, some ferns. And we have some fuchsias hanging out there.
My sister's number 20.
Okay.
Do you know why my houseplants do better outside?
Because you neglect
you're more
them.
Likely to water them.
Exactly.
And feed them because they're closer to where the food is.
More likely to water them.
Right.
And I don't have to be careful watering them.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the real reason.
I think that's the important thing with the plants that we have out front too, because we have a hose bib right there and you just... walk around and water all the plants, and
you don't worry about it getting all over the floor.
And you can actually water the leaves, which is recommended periodically to clean off the dust and the debris.
Right.
And you can do that when it's outside a lot more easily than you can when it's on your living room floor in a big pot.
Now, one of the things that brought us to houseplants was an exchange that we had as we were departing the studio 1 week ago. Is that correct?
Perhaps so. That's right. Yes.
What?
One of our,
yes.
I think the show that follows us, Brian has a Ming plant, right?
Yeah, Ming Aurelia.
Which is the
Aurelia. Ming Aurelia.
Yeah.
And he, did he croak one?
Yeah.
No, he bought a bad one.
Okay, so he bought a bad plant and he replaced it. And we just started talking about taking care of houseplants. And it actually was our Wednesday Wisdom this week for the Facebook page for the nursery.
And it tied to watering, which is totally contrary to what we would suggest he do, but it's working, correct?
Correct. And what is that? No, you want to expand on that?
Well, I think he's giving it 4 ounces of water every day. What is that about right?
That is about right.
Yeah. And it's working, and I started to correct him in the hallway and tell him, no, don't do that.
But it's working.
It's working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I was up at his place on Tuesday and we were chatting and about feeding. And so do you feed your houseplants?
I do. I put
funny, I don't, but only because I forget about it.
Because you're lazy.
Exactly.
I put Grow Power planting tablets in everything.
And we do the same thing for our porch plants, which are our house plants, and those grow. And I was telling Brian that he might want to feed those.
Right.
And the Grow Power tablets are phenomenal.
Yeah, and we could either sell him a package of Grow Power tablets, or I could pocket a couple of actual tablets and bring it for him and let him just
try get it.
Yeah, dip his feet in. I went to visit Brian on Monday, and he wasn't there.
Well, he was going to be there because he knew I was coming. So
exactly.
I went to El Cajon on Monday. And you were not there. And the gentleman said, no, he's not here today. And I just happened to be there. I was at the bank next door. And he did offer to help me. And I said, no, thank you. Just wanted to say.
Contrary, he was in Escondido, he says.
Yes, I was in El Cajon.
So when you're feeding your houseplants, whether they're the porch plants or actually in the house, like in Brian's case, do you not feed them in the winter? Because we talk about not feeding plants in the downtime, but houseplants in the house don't really have a downtime. So do you still feed yours?
Totally agree. I would feed them whenever I think about it.
Agreed. Right. I was just curious in talking with some of our customers. Well, it's winter. I'm not going to feed my plants. But.
Yeah, okay, we're really running. Did you say 30 seconds? Oh, that means we got to go. You have been listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. Brian and Auto Talk is up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.